Just before the turn of the century, the birth of the new millennium, January of 1999, the World Watch Institute released a study, it's a fascinating study, on the state of the world as they saw it in that moment. In the first sentence of the new study, and this is a quote, it said, "The bright promise of a new century is clouded by unprecedented threats to the stability of our natural world." And the article went on to describe what these threats look like and how they would appear in our lives. And to me, the most fascinating thing was that the single greatest threat that they identified, it wasn't nuclear technology, it wasn't the engineering of viruses or bacteria. The single greatest threat to our species they identified was humankind itself. They said, we are our own greatest threat to our future survival. And they went on to describe how the use of the technology that we've created in our lives has given new meaning to the way we perceive ourselves and the way we define ourselves by our similarities or our differences. Technology that we have today has given new meaning to the way we see ourselves and our differences. At the beginning of our new millennium, at the turn of the last century, now that century is over, historians can go back and they can compile the statistics and they can tell us what the last 100 years really meant to us, rather than coming from an emotional standpoint of what we feel the last 100 years were like. They can actually go back and tell us. And some of the statistics are a little frightening. Between 1900 and 1999, what we know is that more people lost their lives at the hands of our own kind than at any other time in recorded human history. Jonathan Steele from the British journal Guardian Unlimited Observer actually coined the sentence. He said, "This is a century that murdered peace." Eric Hobsbawm, the historian, in his book War and Peace in the 20th Century, called the 20th century the single most murderous century in recorded human history. And I have to say, when I began reading these kinds of quotes, I questioned them, because I always thought that the bloodiest time in human history was the Inquisition or the Romans. They were pretty bad hundreds and thousands of years ago. And I began to read the statistics, and they were very frightening. In the last 100 years alone, over 187 million human lives were lost to violence based simply in the differences between people, the differences between bloodlines, heritage, borders, beliefs, simply because people were different. And that number, it's such a huge number, it's almost meaningless. 187 million of anything. I don't know what 187 million of anything even looks like. So maybe to give some perspective, if we take the entire population of the Earth in 1913 and consider that 10% of that population is about 187 million, that gives us some idea. About 10% of the Earth's population in 1913, that is the number of people that lost their lives in the last 100 years simply because they were different in some way. Now, what's very interesting about this is while we have become a species that is defined by our differences, and perhaps we always have to some degree, the emphasis in those differences has grown tremendously in this last century. The last century saw a rise in a new form of killing. It was justified in our differences to the point that new terms had to be coined just to describe this kind of killing. The terms of genocide, ethnic cleansing. 1948, the United Nations General Assembly actually defined the word genocide so that they could make it illegal in the world courts. They defined it as a denial of the right of existence of entire human groups. There's a reason I'm sharing this information. There's a reason that I'm sharing these statistics now. The reason is because at the birth of the 21st century, the very parameters that created such frightening statistics of the last 100 years are still in place. The thinking that led to such tremendous loss of life, that thinking still exists. The violence of the last century has continued. Right now, the United States is actively involved in at least 22 wars. We have troops on the ground in 22 wars throughout the world. We don't hear a lot about this in our everyday lives. And the peacekeeping missions even compound those to a greater degree. And what I think all of these things are telling us is that peace must be more than the absence of war. Peace has to be more than the absence of war. While we can have peacekeeping troops on the ground to force people to stop fighting. The peacekeeping troops do not necessarily force the peace within people's hearts. And this is where the field of energy that links all of creation that the ancients identified, that Western science now understands, this is where that field of energy becomes so important to our understanding and our ability to participate in the changes of our world, to change the patterns of the war, the disease, and the suffering that dominated so much of the last century. We simply must change the thinking that underlies that pattern. And I know it sounds very simple, so simple that people ask me, why haven't we done these things yet?